the basin itself, you're going to shift it across, right? But you've shifted it closer to the power point, all right? Now it's non-compliant. The power point was too close to the water outlet. G'day, welcome to the Maker of the Miles podcast. I'm your beloved host here, where we talk all things related to building and construction, as well as the real estate industry through the lens of a building inspector. I'm a builder, I'm a building inspector, I'm a human being. And other than that, we also dabble in the journey, which is another sort of segment to what we do here, which is we talk about personal development and all those types of things and being better and doing better things and just being a fucking good bloke. Or lady, not sexist here. Now, on this episode, this is an important one for the people that froth a little DIY and understand that the potential risks associated with DIY renovations, okay? So I'm all about DIY. I fucking love it. When people have a crack and they want to get out and learn some new skills and do some cool things and be a part of this ripper industry, I'm all about it. Having a go, it's a difficult process, but having a go and learning as much as you can, better ourselves. It means you can fix your own shit and you don't have to pay other people to do it, which is what I'm all about, to be honest, because trades are expensive. And I think if you can do it yourself, well, then you go ahead and at least attempt it to a degree. All right. So we're going to start off with the lack of expertise. Now, people that do DIY most of the time have some sort of grasp of general sort of hands-on experience. They might mow their lawns, they might open a door handle, they might fix a door handle. They can sort of move around and actually do a couple of things, okay? Some people get a bit excited and a bit arrogant and think they can do absolutely everything. That is definitely not me. I have many weaknesses in construction. I have not mastered every trade. It is not what I can do. So it's about being humble and understanding where you can sort of thrive at, you've got time for and patience with, and actually can do it yourself. So there's things that you cannot touch and you shouldn't touch it, because this is what can lead to sort of major issues from renovation processes. And this is things like playing around with the structural elements of the actual house itself. You know, you might think you know how to dig footings and pour concrete to the right depths and build walls and put lintels in and put ceilings in and all that sort of stuff. Probably something you want to be skipping out on. Electrical, again, it's a registered trade. If you have if you stuff up the electrical and put one wire on the wrong side and stuff that up, it can cause electrical fires, which can burn your house down, which is probably not what you want. As well as that plumbing. If you fuck up the plumbing and you have plumbing leaks and you haven't done something correctly, haven't put the tape around 13 times, you've only done it 5, and it leaks, again, this can be a slow burn, and you're going to be like pulling everything apart just to figure out what you did wrong. So all these types of trades are sort of something worth doing, getting advice on, or definitely just engaging the right person to do these specific roles. Okay. Other than that, you've got safety concerns. All right. Now, existing structures, they're all different. There's different point loads of the structure. There's different elements to work with. You might have different types of plumbing in place. You might have different types of electrical. Could be a very old property, no RCDs, anything like that. Might be exposed copper wires. There's all these risks associated with it. That's why the construction industry, you have the highest risk of injuring yourself, because it is bloody dangerous. So when you're going through that sort of, maybe you're doing demo, you might be doing demo itself. There's nothing wrong with doing the detailed demo, okay? What that looks like is, pulling plasterboard off walls, pulling skirting, pulling carpet up, just all the aesthetic things, okay? When you start looking at like exposed wires or exposed plumbing or exposed building elements, and you think to yourself, oh, I can pull that out, I can just turn the power off and cut this and pull that and just leave it. That is not the way to go about it, okay? This is where you can get yourself into strife. And I've seen it before where people have done poor quality demo and had house fires based on they've just cut a cable, let it sit in the roof, turn the power back on, and created issues, tried to reinstate things incorrectly. It's just not fucking worth it, all right? Other than that, you'd be looking at sort of the structural integrity of the buildings themselves, all right? So ensuring what you rebuild is actually structurally adequate. This is super common with pergolas and decks. The number one thing the DIY wants to get out and do, which I'm all about, is making sure you're using the correct type of material, so it's treated pine, not just a stick of timber that's been laying around and you're just going to build something out of it. If you're going to do some sort of renovation process or extension or a deck, whatever it may be, and you're doing it yourself, you just need to ensure that the products that you use are correct, and as well as that, they are sized correctly. So your bearers are sized correctly, your stumps are sized correctly, the spans are sized correctly. Now, All these things can be found. It's not that hard to find the span tables for all these timber elements. You can have a conversation with a chippy for 10 minutes and figure out every single bit of material you are going to use and the spacings with it. It is not difficult. So ensuring that you do those steps up front first is going to set you up for success rather than going through all this heartache and hard work. You build this structure, you have a big party on it, it collapses. People are breaking legs, probably not, you know, but it collapses, it sags, it's decayed. And all that effort was an absolute waste of time because you haven't put the right things in the right place. And you're putting yourself at risk, and as well as that, at, you know, liability, because you're building something that's non-compliant. You might not be going through the permit process. So you might be getting that ripped out straight away. Okay, so ensuring that the structural integrity of what you're building is adequate is super, super, super critical. Now, other things to consider is the quality of work. So we want to talk about the difficulty in building, okay? So as I said a bit earlier, I am not a skilled tradesman of every single trade. I understand the trade. I understand what to do, what not to do. But to actually put it into practice is very fucking difficult. That's why there's tilers that just tile. That's why there's waterproofers that just waterproof. That's why there's roofers that just do roof plumbing, okay? And then there's plumbers that do in-ground stormwater. Then there's plumbers that do general plumbing. There's all these specialist trades because there's a lot associated within each trade themselves, okay? Now, for me personally, painting. Anyone can paint. I can't fucking paint to save my life because I have no patience and... Well, I do have patience, but I'm very time sensitive and I'm very particular. So for me to paint a room might take me a day, and I'm too anal and it's too much detail and I just crack the shits and I've wasted a whole day. I could have been doing other shit and it just pisses me off, all right? As well as that, plastering. I can hang the sheets. When it comes to stopping up the plaster and making it look pretty, I am useless. Because I'm so in need of good quality, I can't let it go any sort of defect and I just can't get it right. And again, I spend fucking 10 days on it trying to get it right and I just have to give up. So we're not all perfect, but we all can at least attempt and try these things, okay? A lot of people like to try, you know, doing some chippy work, building their decks, all that sort of stuff. They might try some tiling. They might try putting some cabinets together and build some bench tops, all these types of things. And I'm all about that, okay? Things that are more aesthetically looking, okay? And you don't really need, if you fuck it up and it looks a bit ugly, it's okay. If you're happy to live with it, that's completely fine. If your painting's a bit shit, that's all right. If you're hanging a door, it doesn't sort of look too good, but it still works as a door. That's okay, all right? It's you having a crack and trying to learn the skill set itself to become better and better and better. And if you put more practice in, you can become a pro. You can even do it as a fucking trade or as a career itself, okay? So the actual quality of work itself is always going to be much lower because you're obviously doing it yourself and you're trying to save that money. Other things to consider, if you are intending to do it yourself, all right, you're intending to hang some sheets of plasterboard, you might not stop it up. You're going to hang some sheets of plasterboard, or you might put some timber lining on the wall. You're not going to paint it, but you're going to install the timber lining. There's all these types of things you could be doing. Make sure during this process that you actually read the installation guide to the specific product. So even with trades, and this does get overlooked quite often, even with trades, there is a specific way to install a specific product to not, so it doesn't void any warranties, all right? Because if they come out, if you say there's an issue, it's water leaking, it's getting through this, I don't know, weatherboard system you put in place, and then all of a sudden, you know, they come out and they go, well, you've installed it completely wrong. You're meant to have battens every 400 centers or 300 centers or whatever the bullshit is. There's no warranty there, right? You've just fucked it up, okay? And it's installed a certain way, and that's how it's tested to ensure that that product actually works, all right? So always read the installation guide to any product that you purchase, buy, install, all those good things, to ensure that you're doing it the right way, all right? It's going to be a slow process because you're learning, which is completely fair and reasonable, but at least you're having a crack, and you're going to do it as best as practical the right way, rather than just throw it on the wall and hope for the best, all right? Other than that, things to consider as well is co-compliance, all right? So you might be in a bathroom, for example, and you might just be doing some very basic changes. So you might just be taking the shower screen out, retiling, putting in some new joinery. You might redo a bit of a layout, nothing too crazy. You're not moving any plumbing around, stuff like that. And you might be moving a joinery unit over a little bit, and the sink, the basin itself, you're going to shift it across, right? But you've shifted it closer to the power point. All right, now it's non-compliant. The power point was too close to the water outlet and you have just put yourself in a position where it can get into strife. Same can go for gas appliances, putting in new range hoods, you know, don't have the heights correct, all those types of things, all right? So there are co-compliance issues that you can come stuck with. It'd be very rare for someone to come around and then just cause a drama about it. But if for some reason someone purchases your property and they know that you've clearly done some you know, DIY renovations, and you have to get an owner builder report to say that, yeah, everything I did here was legit. I didn't do it through a permit process because it technically kind of didn't really need it, changing a bathroom around, and you're doing it for under $16,000. You might not actually need, $10,000. You might not need a permit in place to actually do the process, all right? But then they'll see that you've done some DIY stuff. You'll have to get a report. They'll come back, all right, this is non-compliant. This is non-compliant. This is done wrong. So they're the risks associated with it, okay? So it's just something to be more or less mindful about. And that sort of steps into the idea of permits. I'm guilty of it numerous times with clients of not putting a permit in place for something as simple as a small deck. So it's not this grand, huge deck that's double story and you can fall off the side of it and die. It's just at the back of an alfresco and it sort of wraps around the corner. It's very basic. There's not a lot associated with it. The risk is very low. It's not crazy. If you're going to be doing things like stripping out a hole inside of a house and renovating it, or you're going to put an extension on or anything like this, you might have a weatherboard house. It's a pretty easy process to just add some stumps, build a subfloor, extend it out. If you proceed without even inquiring about getting a permit, or you do not have a permit in place, what can happen and what is happening, because I'm seeing this more often than not, and I've come across it before, is that councils are sort of picking up on these structures that are being built around people's houses. Pergolas is a perfect one. Anything with a roof capturing water. They come around and say, well, is there a permit in place for this? And what they're going to do in that situation is they can simply say to you, lock the doors, you can't use it, and you've got to knock it down. And that's it, and they're assholes about it. And I've had a client who went through this process, and she wasn't a client, but she was recommended through a real estate agent to help her out, and I did. But the only process could do is they had to knock it down and rebuild it to be compliant. It still worked as a pergola. It picked up the water. It hadn't collapsed. It was probably going to hang up there for a good 10, 15, 20 years, but it's wrong. All right. So you need to be mindful about that and understand if you do need to get a permit in place and any insurance associated with that as well. Okay. So these are very critical things to understand as you go through this DIY process. Other than that is time and budget. All right. So you don't always save money if you do it yourself. And what I mean by that, it usually comes down to when you do something yourself and you fuck it up, it's going to cost a lot more money to pull it out, redo the substrate, and then pay a professional to come in and do the work over what you just done. Tiling is a great example of that. Seen that many times. So there's all these types of things to be mindful about. Understand your time and your capacity to actually complete the works. It is very difficult when you're a DIYer because you have no skill set and you're trying your best to learn all these skills. It's going to be so fucking slow as you go through that process to do your renovations or DIY things, okay? So you need to make sure you have plenty of time. You're spending time on it. It is going to take twice as long as what you think, and it's going to cost more than what you think, all right? I'm telling you this based on my experience. And I'm building a technology company, and I had people 4 years ago, I spoke to them about my idea, and they said, all right, Miles, it's going to take you three times as long, and it's going to cost you three times as much. And I thought I was top shit. And guess what? That was 4 years ago, and it's taken 4 years, and it's taken 3 years longer than I expected, and it's cost four times more than I expected, okay? So people that are in the industry and understand what's going on tell you these things, just listen to them. Because that's the way it's going to be. And if you come under budget and under time, fucking great. Expectations are good. If you don't, well, again, it all comes down to expectations, and that's what's going to disappoint you during that process. Other things to consider, especially that I see in the real estate industry when I'm inspecting properties, are the resale value of these homes that have had DIY jobs done. It is very, very clear in some circumstances that it has been done by a DIYer. You can see it on the quirks of all the joinery. You can see that things aren't right. You can see the tiling isn't great. The benchtop isn't good. Things aren't centered correctly. Things aren't working as they should. Gives off, this is cheap and shit and dodgy, and I don't want to be a part of it, and I'm not going to buy this property. It's definitely not worth what it's worth. If it's done professionally and everything's done, it's all code compliant, you've got all the electrical certificates of safety, you've got the plumbing compliance certificates. So all the service trades have ticked off to say everything they have done is correct and there should be nothing wrong with it. You want those receipts. You want everything in place to say it's all been done right. Waterproofing has been done by a waterproofer and it's certified. Structural timber members has been done by a carpenter or a builder, okay? And it's been done from a design that is actually accurate, okay? Now, you don't always have to go through crazy design processes with engineers, but in some circumstances you might, if there's something going on that, you know, it goes outside of the scope of what a carpenter can pull up just from his framing manual. So the resale value itself, yeah, it's critical. People are going to ask questions. They're going to want to know about if it was done correctly. They're not, you know, and they're going to get building inspectors to come through, and the building inspector is going to give their advice on it. They go, yep, it's, you know, the tiling looks pretty shit. So I would assume the waterproofing is going to be non-existent or very shit as well. Or maybe it's okay. You can't see those things. But it puts doubt in that buyer's mind as they go through that process. So be mindful of that sort of resale value for, you know, it's an investment on your property, what you're doing, really. So just be mindful about that. Other than that, the big one that I always like to do, talk to my mates about, is the personal stress associated with it and the burnout, all right? I don't know what's going on in this world, but it seems as though that as soon as we sort of get comfortable, we buy a house, we get married, we have a kid, and then as soon as we have the kid or as the missus is pregnant, that's when we decide to do one of the biggest, most intrusive things of our life and renovate your fucking property, okay? So what I'm finding with that is that it is a big impact. When back in the day when I was a chippy and we would renovate people's properties, you know, to save a dollar, instead of them moving out, we would renovate like half the property, switch them into that, and then renovate the other half of the property. Done that numerous times, okay? It's very intrusive. You're there at 7 a.m. in the morning. There's dust everywhere all the time. It's loud. It's you lose your kitchen space and you're working with a little wok in the bathroom or something like that. You're trying to live through this hell. And then because you're doing it yourself, you don't have the time to actually get in, execute the work and get out. It's a very slow grind mentally. Okay, so just be mindful about that. If you're going to be doing some like sort of decent DIY projects, it's really going to be an impact on you, especially if you've got a one bathroom and you're going to do a bathroom renovation. Okay, you want to make sure you are, you know, got your ducks aligned, and it's going to be pushed as quickly as possible because of that stress. And then again, on top of the back end of that, the burnout process, all right, it can drag out for such a long period of time, and you can be disheartened because your expectations are up here saying, I'm top shit. I know Miles said it's going to take twice as long and cost twice as much, but I'm fucking better than that. And all of a sudden it's costing twice as much, taking twice as long. Your expectations are starting to blow out, burning out, you're running out of energy, you're running out of money, and the whole process, instead of it becoming a fun new addition to the home, it's just this hell that you fucking hate and you don't want to do it, and it just, the quality drops off at the back end, you're blueing with your missus, the kids are screaming, it's a fucking horrible process. It makes me laugh, but it's just not good. So if you're a DIYer, like, these are the things you really need to understand, okay? Your lack of expertise, the safety concerns associated with obviously demo and service trades, the structural integrity when you're rebuilding things, that you're doing the right thing, the quality of the work itself, what your capacity is going to be, the time it takes to do all that sort of stuff, voiding warranty, so ensuring what you do is actually done to the installation guide and correct, complying with any sort of codes and standards and building regulations. On top of that, obviously getting any permits that you may need to do that process itself, the time and the budget overruns, your expectations and how you set them and how you come to that value, seek advice on that. There's nothing wrong with it. The resale value of once you go through that process itself, you know, the quality is X, how much is going to, you know, add to my home? Is it, am I doing this to flip a home and make it look better and feel better about it? Or is it just something that we want to do to just maintain the property itself? And then obviously the personal stress itself associated with it. Again, if you start struggling, or even what I highly recommend to people they do before this process, is just engage a professional, engage a builder or someone that's done this sort of stuff before. Get them around to your house. Pick their brains for like half an hour, give them a slab of beers and say, right, this is what we're going to be doing. Give me a hit list of all the things that can go wrong, can't go wrong, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. Give me a rough estimate of how this sort of looks from a cost perspective. And you will get that in 30 minutes from a builder standing at your house, having a look at it. And he'll get a slab of beers and go home and have a few and have a great time. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. Do not go onto the internet straight away and look for help on the internet. It is not going to help you as much as getting an actual person on board to see your specific issue and then action accordingly from that. The internet's great for some things. It's just not for getting advice on a specific detailed demo renovation or whatever you're doing in your property itself, okay? So if you're a DIYer, be mindful about that. If this provide any value, give us a review. We're all about that. And if not, we will see you on the next one. Hooray. Let's go.